We may never know, Uther. I intend to live forever.
How dare you show your face here?
Faces.
Don't laugh at that, you idiot!
A lot of story there, a lot of lore. For those of you who are into that kind of thing, I love you.
Welcome to Live, Laugh, Lore, the podcast that explores where we've been and where we may go next in the world of Warcraft.
Welcome, everyone, to Live, Laugh, Lore, episode 103, the show that's brought to you by popular demand. Seriously. Each episode, we'll check in, have some laughs, talk all about the lore of Warcraft 1 or 781 topics at a time.
So many topics.
My name is Jin, and if I keep this up, I'll be like a tenured professor at some shit. And returning to assist in this very topical return, it is Allie.
Hello.
How's it going? How you been, Allie?
Good. I hit 40 in Plunderstorm.
So is that max, right?
That's max.
Okay, so then I have 19 levels to go, or renown, I guess. Renown.
It is. It's renown, yes. I hit level 40. I must have hit level 40. I hit renown 40. It happened.
Nice.
So in honor of that, I'm wearing my pirate hat today.
Yeah, get the pirate hat going. Got the Plunderstorm t-shirt.
Beautiful. Plunderstorm t-shirt. It's Warcraft and pirates. It was made for me, literally. And so my husband got it for me for my birthday. I was going to get it for myself and then got yelled at for wanting to buy something so close to my birthday. So, of course, that meant I got it for my birthday.
Yeah,
so
That makes sense.
So, yes, I'm very happy with the shirt. Had to wear the pirate hat in honor of it all. So it's good times. But, like, I really enjoyed Plunderstorm. And I'm not going to say it's perfect, but I enjoyed it. And now if I have friends who haven't hit 40 yet and they want duos or even trios and just to keep them company, I will happily go along because I like me some Plunderstorm.
So you enjoy the Plunderstorm? You like the gameplay loop?
Oh. I do. Like, I focus more on the PvE element unless someone gets in my way, which, you know, whatever, they can die. And then if I have a match where I feel like I've got a decent build going, my levels are decent, I might stand a chance, then I might go after people. Or if it's just not my game, I'll just let someone kill me and then get my plunder. It's fine. And then every once in a while, if I get the ambush plant and I'm feeling sassy, I will try to predict where it's going to enclose down, like the circle, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then find a good place to hide. And it's really fun just to hide there and watch everyone run by me and me laugh at them. It's great.
You just sit there in the bush.
I got second place a couple times that way. It was pretty great.
Bush. I am the bush. Be the bush.
Yeah. So, yeah, all in all, like, I've enjoyed it. And I'm glad. Like I said, it's not perfect, but it's something I have enjoyed during this time. So,
yeah, it's been a nice break for the LOL, right?
Definitely. And I know it's not everyone's saying, and that's fine. It's okay. They're not gonna please everyone all the time, but at least they tried something new. And it's been, you know, it's something during the LOL, and they needed something, so that's really good.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I'm not saying you gotta keep up with all these different things, but if your game is Warcraft, like, oh, I just love Warcraft, it's so bad. You got so many friggin' options that you can play right now. There's really no LOLs anymore. You want to go play Cataclysm?
A new season started. Yeah,
wanna
exactly.
Go do Season of Discovery. You want to do Plunderstorm? Go do Plunderstorm. You want to do some raids and retail?
So much stuff.
Stuff to do. It's just...
Yeah, there's, and not to mention achievements, whatnot, like a lot of, well, not a lot of us. I know some of us are working on the meta achievement for Tyvon. What did I do the other day for it? I did something.
Did you do
I worked on my Niffin rep because I still haven't gotten that to 20 yet.
So I'm not smelly.
Mm-mm. I'm almost smelly, not quite.
I'm not quite smelly.
Need to roll around a little bit more. And well, it sucks. Like, you do a world quest, it's only worth like 75 rep, and you're like, seriously? I just killed so many elites, and that's 75 rep. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
75.
But I'm almost there. Almost there. But that's about it for me because I went 27 hours without power.
27? That's a lot of hours.
Yeah, we had some really high winds, like gusts up to 100 miles per hour with like sustained of like 50 to 60 miles per hour.
That was a lot of wind.
And Yeah, a lot of wind and a lot of dry conditions right now with a lot of grassland areas in this area and out east. So they did planned depowering the power lines. There's technical terms for it and stuff.
Yeah,
just, for too. Safety and stuff, which is fine. But it kind of hurt our fridge a little bit when it came back on. So adulting is fun. Yeah. Adulting is fun, guys. That's the end of my story. Jen, what have you been up to?
Honestly, not a whole lot. Like, hung out with my wife, brother-in-law, his girlfriend recently. We had a good time.
Nice.
I think we just running around doing errands. Nothing too special. Gonna be going to a basketball game on Sunday.
Ooh, so. What game?
So yeah, Sacramento Kings against who's Portland? Portland Trail Blazers? Is that them?
Trailblazers. Yep.
Okay. I'm not. As you can tell, I'm Saber end of the NBR. I'm going for snacks. That's what I'm going for. It's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, this past week was kind of like setting up for this week, so I didn't really do much of anything. I'll have a better story next week.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a better story because in terms of game time, it's just been a little bit of Plunderstorm while I watched like John Oliver or something on my other monitor.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
I'm just like, I am here for the plunder. I don't give a crap if I get first. I don't.
Yeah. It's either been something from Netflix or I have a Spotify playlist that's all pirate / Celtic music. I'm very proud of this playlist. And so to do Plunderstorm while listening to that playlist is just choice. It is beautiful, and I love it. It makes me happy.
No, I was watching. That's what I was watching. I was doing Plunderstorm, and I was watching Quiet on the Set last night. That's a good document. Oh, that's good.
It's on my list of things to watch. Yeah, so heard it was good. Check it out.
Especially since you're like the right age range, and you were watching all these shows probably.
Right.
Yeah, it's nostalgic and also like it's creepy. So, but it's a good documentary. It's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, what a lot of people are saying. Definitely worth it.
Yeah, definitely worth watching. And it is an interesting nostalgia trip going down that path. Horrible, horrible stuff that happened. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's shitty. When you look back and you see everything that happened, it's like, I don't like this. I don't like that at all. It's weird. I don't like looking back at my childhood and realizing that there was so much crap and abuse going on. It's just like, just be nice, people. Stop it.
You think it wouldn't be that hard, but it totally is.
Yeah, you think, but yeah. It's rough. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I was doing. I watched Quiet on Set and Plunderstorm, and that's kind of what I was doing this week, and that's about it. So I got a thing for you to read here, Allie.
You do have a thing for me to read here. Hey there, listeners. Do you like this podcast and want to have an active voice in shaping its formation and weigh in on what topics we cover? Because this episode is basically the product of several patrons and listeners letting us know that they want more Lore 101. So here it is. Oh, yeah. Listen until the end of the show and you can find out how to do all that.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about?
You're damn right, Allie. It's more Warcraft Lore 101. And we got to bring back an old favorite. So I'm going to give everyone a recap of what happened last time on episode 101.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay. Here we go. I'm going to try and do this as fast as possible.
It's going to be so good. Ready, set, go.
In the beginning, there was a light, and then some pockets of light made the void. They touched, and there was a big bang. Reality. In reality, you've got planets, and some of those planets, you've got world souls that wake up as titans. A whole bunch of wake up and go back for more, but they find demons instead. One of them, named Sargeras, goes insane when he learns about the void and kills the other titans, only to learn about the planet of Azeroth. Back when the titans found Azeroth, they fixed everything up real nice, but they left the Well of Eternity on accident, and it had some really weird effects. First effects, the native troll population became night elves, and those night elves started to use magic so much that it attracted the attention of the evil titan Sargeras, whose plan right now is to unleash his demon army in the world and kill all life so that Void can't get it. Anyway, the night elf queen wants to marry that guy, starts a war, and Malfurion blows up the planet when he destroyed the Well of Eternity to keep Sargeras from coming through the portal. Next, we fast forward 10,000 years into the future to the first war, where we found out that the orcs, who were a product of a magic mountain, were brought to Azeroth by Medivh with the help of an orc named Gul'dan. Orcs came through and burned down Stormwind. Then the humans ran north and beat the orcs up when they tried to follow the humans. The orcs got put in prison. One orc in prison got a vision to go west, young man, so he did that by freeing all the orcs. Oh yeah, there was also some plagued grain, and Lordaeron and Arthas and Jaina found out about it. Arthas killed the city to keep them from becoming zombies from the grain. Jaina went west too, and her and Orc Thrall fought and killed Archimonde in a tree. Arthas put a hat on and became the Lich King. That's everything we talked about.
Well done.
All right. With that out of the way, Allie, would you like to kick us off with the rest of what we were talking about today?
Absolutely. At the end of the last episode, you may have been thinking, what happens next? Very good question, Timmy. But that's the question we were all left with back in July of 2003, when the Frozen Throne expansion was released, and we played through the campaign only to find out that the evil prince that killed his father just put on a hat and became Lich King, and then just sat there like he won or something. Jin's not bitter at all. Nope, not at all. Do you care to weigh in on that, Jin?
No, I don't think it's a good idea right now. We got a lot of notes to get through. We don't really need a diatribe. So we keep moving.
Okay, fine. Very well. So what did happen next? World of Warcraft was released and we all started leveling from 1 to 60. But the most important thing that we have to talk about first today takes place a few years before the start of World of Warcraft. As we discussed the last time, Stormwind was burned down during the events of the First War. Well, sometime between the Second and Third War, Stormwind had been rebuilt, but there was a bit of a disagreement on the payment of the Stonemasons Guild that built Stormwind Keep and most of the rest of the city. There was also an issue with raising taxes to help rebuild Stormwind on the members of the Alliance, so that one of the member nations, Gilneas, quit the Alliance, built a wall just out of spite. More on that later. Now, all you really need to know about this disagreement in payment between the nobles and the stonemasons is that one of Deathwing's daughters, Anixia, had disguised herself as a Stormwind noble, Lady Prestor, and was messing with the minds of all the other nobles, while she was also going to the stonemasons and encouraging them not to negotiate with the nobility. All this turmoil led to a riot in the streets of Stormwind, and during the riot, the young queen Tiffin Wren was struck by a rock and died while holding her infant son Anduin Wren.
Named after the greatest hero of the Alliance and savior of the Wren family line, Anduin Lothar.
It's true.
That's right.
Very true.
Beren's wife is now dead. She was just killed and he became a single father, as well as, he was also still the king of Stormwind. So lots of stuff to deal with. And as you can imagine, Varian was very upset at the events of the riot and took out his rage on the stonemasons and drove them all out from the city. Like, get out of here. This did not end well because stonemasons they formed the Defiant Brotherhood, baby, and brought with them the Dead Mines dungeon. Do you like that dungeon, Allie? Is that a good one? Especially since you're wearing a pirate hat at the moment.
Right? Pirate hat, pirate shirt. No, I don't like that at all. No, it's not one of my favorite dungeons ever. What's not to like, right? Pirates, giant ship, Murloc chef.
Would you like to know a fun fact about that that you may or may not know? Do you know what the boat is made out of? The boat, originally?
The boat, right?
The whatever.
I feel like I do, but it's not coming to mind right now.
Yeah, so the ship that's in the Dead Mines, why it's not shaped like an Alliance ship or anything else, that was actually an Ogre Dreadnought, right? Warcraft 2 that was refurbished by the Defias Brotherhood to be the big thing that was going to blow up Stormwind, right?
Yeah.
So it was nice, an Ogre nice, ship nice. That they fixed.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And like the dungeon's gone through a couple iterations. The first part, you get the satisfaction of blowing up a door with a cannon.
True.
Which was awesome. You got Mr. Smite, told you to check on that noise and all of that. And plus that's where you can get a parrot, mm-hmm. which was great.
Yep. It was.
And then in the second iteration of it, you got to swing on ropes mm-hmm. before yes. they took that out.
Yeah.
I think it's gone. Is that gone? I feel like that's gone now.
I don't know. I felt like there was ropes.
You get the mystery of like, oh, who's the shadowy figure in the doorway? Ooh. Like, it's just, there's a lot of things like about that dungeon. We'd be here for a while if I talked about it. So we should just move on.
All right. Well, that's not all the Defias got up to.
True.
With the help of Anixia, the Defias Brotherhood successfully abducted King Beren Rydd and held him captive for the course of Classic and Burning Crusade. We'll talk more about that soon because that's what happened. So, this is why when you go play in your Season of Discovery, you've got a child, Anduin Wren, on the throne, and Papa Varian is nowhere to be seen.
Another thing you need to know about before you launch up your classic realms is a new world tree was planted by the Night Elves, but the aspects didn't bless this one, so it's a little corrupted, just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit at a time.
Yeah, just that's all. That's why it's got satyrs there when you're playing through the zone. But let's check in with the Horde. Well, you see, during the events of Warcraft 3, our good buddy Warchief Thrall, we are just both doing great tonight. Warchief Thrall was going around making a bunch of new friends, and that's how the new Horde was formed by the orcs, Torn, Darkspear Trolls, and Undead. Well, Thrall needed a little convincing to let the Undead join. It was actually the Torn Druid, Hummel Runetotem, that convinced Thrall he should let them join. They'd be in the Horde. All that goodness. Now, following the events of the Battle of Mount Hyjal, the orcs needed a new home. It's decided that since the orcs kind of have done some shady shit in the past, they would live in a crappy Durotar zone. So Thrall hired a local goblin engineer, Gazlo. He'll build a bunch of canopies and weird spiky buildings, and that's how we get Orgrimmar.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we've officially made it to the story within the game now. Okay, we're all caught up.
Finally.
During our adventuring days, us player characters have done a lot of things to make matters worse. It's happened a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you one of the earliest examples of this. According to faction canon, a group of Alliance adventurers traveled into the Dark Iron Dwarf city of Shadowforge City and assassinated the rule of the Dark Irons for kidnapping the king of Ironforge's daughter, Moira Bronzebeard. Only problem with that is she wasn't kidnapped, and we just murdered her husband and the father of her future child. Good job. However, Moira didn't just roll over and go home. No, she stayed inside of Shadowforge City and ruled as their queen because she was, in fact, legally married, and a rival faction of dwarves just okayed the assassination of their king. Moira even got to work attempting to better the lives of the Dark Iron Dwarves as well, because they were in a little bit of a pickle.
Yes, pickles. Yep. And it wasn't those nasty, briny, wasted, perfectly good cucumbers kind of pickle. This, I love you. This was, I accidentally enslaved my entire kingdom kind of pickle. Let's quickly break down what happened. The last High King of the Dwarves, Modimus Anvamar, died, and it kicked off a civil war among the three clans, the Bronzebeards, the Wildhammer, and the Dark Iron. Bronzebeards kick everyone out of Ironforge. Wildhammer and Bronzebeard, they come to an understanding. But the Dark Irons, they're pissed. Dark Irons, years later, launched an attack against both clans when they at least expected it, but it didn't go so well. Modgood, the Dark Iron Queen at the time, went after the Wildhammers, and she got killed by a Wildhammer's hammer in the face when Xal'atath abandoned her. Yes, that Xal'atath, my Xal'atath. Sorcerer Thane Tharason went after the Bronzebeards in Ironforge, and when he started to lose, he made a last-ditch attempt and summoned Ragnaros to Azeroth. That's why he's there. It didn't go so well for them. So this is why Blackrock Mountain and the surrounding areas are totally effed up, and it is how the Dark Iron originally got enslaved by the Fire Lord Ragnaros. Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, it had been around 250 years since this deal happened with the Dark Irons and Ragnaros. But when Moira found out about it, she wanted to find a way to fix it. She did this by putting out an ad on Facebook Marketplace that the Molten Core was full of a bunch of awesome loot. Well, that totally worked, and a giant mass of adventurers poured in there and tried to get the piece to make their very own Sulfurous or Thunder Fury.
Did you just say Thunder Fury? Was it by the end of the Wood Singer?
I mean, yes, and also no. This is Thunder Fury. Anyway, us player characters took out Ragnaros the Fire Lord and drove him back to the Firelands. He's not dead. See him again.
No.
In doing so, we freed the Dark Iron Dwarves, but that's not all that happened up in Blackrock Mountain. Can't forget about this one. That's where a certain Alliance Marshal Windsor is found as a captive down there, and together, you and your new pal Marshal Windsor reveal the truth about Onyxia and how she was messing up with all sorts of shit. Well, anyway, Onyxia gets away after that encounter, and we end up we have to go to her lair. But we'll tell you about the story of Onyxia and her death in a bit, because it's weird. Next up, though, is Blackwing Lair. Honestly, not a lot happened in Blackwing Lair, like in terms of the story. It's just, we just got there, and we killed Deathwing's son, Nefarian. because he was trying, and in a couple options, a couple moments, you know, he successfully managed to create chromatic drakes. And they had the power of all of the flights together. Well, we put a stop to that nonsense and killed the dork, like we said. And however, he won't stay dead for long. They never do.
Nope. Right. The next big thing that happened once again needs a little bit of an explainer, but we'll keep it brief. The gates of Ankaraj were opening, and we had to prepare. In fact, it was a large war effort in game where you had to donate an insane amount of trade goods to the war effort before the gates could be opened. But why were they closed, and why was the Temple of Ankaraj? And what was the Temple of Ankaraj? I get distracted because it's fun to say Ankaraj.
Because it sounds like the Michael Scott saying Entourage.
With the exception of an episode of Entourage, which Michael made us watch 6 times.
Entourage.
Well, that too. The Temple of, I'm also thinking about an Oxhorn skit about it. But anyways.
Open the gates to Ankaraj. That's so much fun to say. Ankaraj.
The temple was actually a Titan facility used to imprison an old god, and the gates were locked around 1,000 years before this point in time to another war called the War of the Shifting Sands. A night elf named Fandral Staghelm had a son that got killed in a war between the night elves and the race of giant insects that evolved from the old god's flesh. In order to finally beat this race of bugs, just like in Starship Troopers, the Night Elves had to get the dragons involved.
Yeah, just like in Starship Troopers.
Yeah, just like it.
You guys didn't see the dragons?
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
Yeah, they're right there the whole time. There's dragons all along. The visage forms is fine. The dragons help push the bugs back to the temple they came from, but instead of pushing into their home, they just lock the doors to the temple from within, literally. 4 dragons sacrifice themselves to seal the gate from the inside until someone opens the door with the key the dragons created. So many dragons lately. They were told to open the door when we are ready to defeat the enemy on the inside. Well, Fandral, after losing a son, threw a temper tantrum, even if it was justified. It was still absolutely a tantrum, and he broke the freaking key. So part of the questing during the game was to reassemble the key, but it all paid off because in the end, we opened the door, took all the bugs out, and even defeated our first old god, C'Thun. It was about as anticlimactic as a way you just told the story, but it's a damn big deal. You killed an old god.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It was like, I mean, I think part of that was just C'Thun's, like, demeanor, because he was always like, yeah, well, die. I mean, that's not exciting. He was kind of, he had a weird vibe about him.
He was trying to be mysterious and scary.
Yeah, I get it. Very, very mysterious. Well, anyway, our final stop in the war for the classic era, it's a big one. It's Naxxramas. I will do my best to summarize this in a nice and tidy bow, but, all right, here it goes. During the Second War, a man named Alexander Mograin killed an orc warlock that was using a black orb to cast some pretty nasty spells. Well, when Mograin, he actually killed him with a ballista. It was pretty great.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. When Mograin went to pick it up, it messed up his hand. Like, it was like, ah, messed up his hand when he picked it up. Well, years after, he's got 2 sons and a dead wife. I think the old Warcraft team really liked to make single fathers. I don't know. Seems
yeah,
like
it, a, was, it was kind of a thing.
Kind
yeah.
of a trend. I don't know. Anyway, one day when Mograin was hanging out at the VFW hall, they got talking about this black orb. So Mograin, he goes and gets it. And one of his buddies freaks out when he sees this spooky orb and he zaps it with a holy shock or something. You know, holy shock. He's like, ah, holy shock. And the damn black orb actually absorbed the light. It was like, it just absorbed the light. Eventually, all of them are like, oh, cool, let's do that again. And they're just like, pow, 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 pow. And you gotta read it. So eventually, all of them blast it with so much hot, sticky white light that the orb is no longer black, but it's now glowing ball of pure light. It even now fixes Mograin's hand when he picks it up. And as an added bonus, the orb of holy light turns undead into ash. Well, that's when Mograin has a really good idea, and he takes the orb to his best damn blacksmith he knew. It's the damn king of Ironforge himself, Magni Bronzebeard.
Mm-hmm. Good old Magni.
Yeah. And this is how the legendary sword Ashbringer gets forged. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's who made it, Magni. Mm-hmm. He's not just a diamond. He used to make cool things. And our pal Alexandros Mograine quickly becomes famous for killing more undead that are still infesting the area surrounding Lordaeron. Thank you, Arthas. Anyway, at this point, the organization that Mograine and his two sons, everyone likes to call him Renault, but it's actually pronounced Renault, if it's a French, because it's a French name. And Darien.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just go with Renault, because that's how everyone remembers it. We're both. All right. So, Anyway, at this point in the organization, you know, Mograine and his two sons that they were in, right? There's a little bit of a schism. A little bit of a schism in the Silver Hand, right? They're all Silver Hand. They're paladins and all that good stuff. Well, the first one, Silver Hand, just got rebranded to the Argent Dawn. Argent Dawn. They're the good guys. And the Scarlet Crusade, the bad guys. Right? That was the other one. Yeah. And to say that there was some bad blood between these two brothers would have been the understatement of the century. You see, Darien, the younger one that everyone just seemed to love, he went with the Argent Dawn because of their DEI initiatives. Nolt was much more of a Lordaeron First movement, and let's face it, he joined with a super racist group, the Scarlet Crusade.
Yeah.
Because the Scarlet Crusade was a lot more than just a group with bad ideas, though. No, it was much, much worse. Because their leader, Sadon Dathorhan, was actually dead. And his body was being controlled by a dreadlord named Balthazar. Remember dreadlords? Yeah, they tricked Sargeras. They're also messing with the Scarlet Crusade. They do a lot of stuff. They do a lot of stuff. Anyway, the dreadlord really messed up with Renault's head and got him to coax his father into a trap to save his brother Darien. Brother wasn't even there. Well, it turned out it was just a trick to get him killed by an insane amount of undead. Yeah, he was like, hey, go to, I think it was... Was it Strathholm? I don't know. Something. I think it was Strathholm where they went.
Something like that, yeah.
So they head. You know, he heads over there. And it's just a shit ton of freaking zombies. Still big old abominations. It was nuts. There's a whole bunch of them. Too bad you sent the Ashbringer there, though. You just kind of poke undead and they turn into dust. Like, oh, well. So, yeah, that's actually what happened is old Alexandros totally was like, what are you talking about me now? I'm tired now. That I just killed all these zombies, but when he tried to take a little breather, that's when Renault walked up behind him and stabbed his dad in the back with the Ashbringer, also corrupting the Ashbringer in the process. So, yay. Anyway, all right. When that happened, what was left of the undead in the area took Mograine's body back to their boss, the Lich King, Kel'Thuzad, who was like, "Oh damn, I need one of these to complete my collection." And thus, Alexandros Mograine became one of the original four horsemen of Naxxramas, right? So we're going to Naxxramas. That's where he is. That's why I was telling you this story. By the way, Naxxramas is a floating necropolis that's spreading all sorts of nastiness that people would like to put an end to. Well, according to the comic book series Ashbringer, the actual heroes that put a stop to Naxxramas were Darien Mograine and his pals in the Argent Dawn. Although Darien only dealt with his undead father and... the four horsemen. They only made it to the four horsemen. They didn't finish the raid.
Yes, it was the player characters that eventually took down Kel'Thuzad, but you wouldn't know it. We stupidly handed over his phylactery to an untrustworthy dude. So we'll see him again, because that's how these things go. But it's now time in the story to move on to the Burning Crusade. That's right. And I started playing the game. It's time to check in with Illidan Stormreach, the dude whose friends dragged him off to Outland to hide after he got his ass kicked by Arthas on his way to becoming the Lich King. So what did old Illidan do? He started killing all the demons he could find and styled himself as the, quote, Lord of Outland. But it wasn't long after the events of Naxxramas concluded that the old Dark Portal came back online and took the fight to Outland once again. This time, we ran into some old friends along the way we never thought we'd see again. You see, the portal was closed off when Ner'zhul's actions destroyed Draenor, when all exploded.
Yep.
And the troops that went into the Dark Portal after the Second War, they were stranded there when the plant went all exploding and the portal went offline. Out of the original heroes that went through, the only two we didn't see were Tyrallian and Illyria. And then we got to see Tooltip forever, wondering where they were.
Yeah, forever.
Forever, yeah. Don't worry, though. We'll see him again, eventually. Not this episode, though. Definitely not. Before we went through the portal, though, two friends joined in on the party. That's right. This was when the now Blood Elves of Silvermoon joined the Horde thanks to Sylvanas, now the leader of the Forsaken in Lordaeron, or as it's known now, the Undercity. Talking up the elves to Thrall, and the Draenei join the Alliance when they crash landed on Azeroth. But how did that happen?
All right, well, this is the part of the notes that I had to rewrite because, well, let's just say I forgot that, you know, the Draenei joined. But anyway, so here's what happened. Well, before the events of the Burning Crusade expansion, three Naru traveled to Outland in massive crystal ships in order to aid in the conflict. The little thing that they arrived in was known as Tempest Keep. You'll see that again.
It's true.
All right. Remember, there are still Draenei living on Outland still. They did survive. They are there. And they had a bit of a connection to the Naru, right? We told you last time it was the Naru that allowed them to escape Argus in the first place. Well, the Naru showed back up because, you know, the shit had hit the fan. So, those three Naru were named Adal. Probably heard that one before. Muru, again, heard that one before, probably. And Oros. Well, Adal picks up Shathra City as a bastion to anyone who could resist the Burning Legion. And Adal's still there. Prince Kael'thas saw these ships and led an attack on one of them and took control of it from the Naru Muru. In fact, he had Muru sent back to Silvermoon City to be examined and eventually would be used to power Blood Elf Paladins with their connection to the light. And finally, Oros got in contact with Velen, and he and his Draenei jumped on one of those ships from Kael'thas and ran away from Azeroth. And yes, they crash landed. Idiots.
All right, let's get back to the opening of the Dark Portal and us traveling to Outland. While we're there, we help out the locals with some issues with their water supply and Serpentine Caverns. There's a super quick story to tell about this place, and honestly, it's not really about the raid at all. Nothing really happens in the raid, other than we kill Lady Vash. Like, that's it.
Yeah, it's fine.
So who is she? Yeah, it's not that exciting. So who is she, and why is she so important that we got all excited when we saw her in the Shadowlands?
You have all the good questions. Right. So here is a super quick version of who she is. Originally, Lady Vash was just one of the handmaidens to Queen Ashara way back during the War of the Ancients. But when she and all her highborn night elves fell into the ocean during the Sundering, the old god N'Zoth made Queen Ashara an offer and turned her and all her subjects into Naga, snaky people, in order to save their lives. So why is she in a water treatment plant on an alien world? Here's the summary. Silvermoon was attacked and decimated by Arthas when he polluted the Sunwell, resurrecting Kael'thuzad, and he killed like 90% of the High Elves. The survivors renamed themselves the Blood Elves as a way to honor those that fell in the attack. After Prince Kael'thas returned to Silvermoon, he led an expedition to the ruins of Dalaran, where they were still dealing with the undead in the area. Long story condensed, Kael'thas was given an impossible task by a clearly racist Alliance leader. Lady Vash approached the prince and offered her help, and also told him about Illidan out in Outland and how he could totally cure his people from their current mana addiction. Anyway, the racist hats get mad that one, the stupid elves survived, and two, they had to use help from the Naga. Anyway, Kael'thas was like, screw you, and he just laughed and went to go hang with Lady Vash and Illidan in Outland. All right. Illidan had got connected with the Naga during the Third War when Kil'jaeden had tasked him with killing the Lich King. Oopsies. So, between the three of them, Illidan, Vash, Kael'thas, a little bit of a comma, but we're not talking about him. Illidan managed to install himself as Lord of Outland. Lord of Outland! Yep, and since Vash was the watery-type snake lady, it was her job to steal all the remaining water in Outland so Illidan could control all natural resources. That's pretty much it. Vash worked with Illidan, and she died in a tragic plumbing accident.
Sure she did. Anyway, following Serpentine Caverns, the champions of the Horde and Alliance got invited to an amazing dinner theater event. There was dancing, a play, and even a moment to sit and play a little chess. And finally, we killed a time-traveling demon. Medivh always did throw the craziest parties.
Like, there wasn't really any lore there.
They're really, I mean, there's little things here and there, but nothing for, you know, Warcraft 103.
No.
Still love Karazhan, though.
Oh, Karazhan's great.
Yeah. We also had to deal with a pesky Prince Kael'thas. So what happened with him? Well, as time went on, he kept trying crazier and crazier things to help his people with their mana addiction, to the point that he attacked a being of pure light named Muru, we talked about him earlier, and shipped it off to Silvermoon to be a paladin battery. He also set up a massive mana forges all around the area of Netherstorm and was sending back Energon cubes. That's kind of what they look like. Yeah.
They really did.
Yeah. Send him over to Silvermoon as a way to deal with her addiction. Let's just say he really took things up way too far, even though he had the best of intentions in mind. Honestly, he probably got this way because Illidan was kind of like that.
Yeah. It's probably why he went to Revendreth, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Revendreth, it was honestly pretty fitting. So we also had to pay Kel'thas a visit and put an end to him twice. But Magisterus isn't super important. Just so we know we killed him twice.
It's true. And after dealing with Kel'thas, there was some rowdy Amani trolls that wanted to take their revenge on the elves in the area or something. So we shut them up real quick. That was Olamon. After the trolls in the Ghostland were dealt with, it was finally time to bring justice to Illidan. We had to put a stop to the madman, who really needs to work on his communication skills and his methods of dealing with things. Sure, he's very smart and very capable and has noble goals of putting an end to the Burning Legion, but it's not ethical to kill people just because they disagree with your point of view, Illidan. But alas, we defeat Illidan and he is put back under the care of his previous jailer of 10,000 years, Maiev Shadowsong. So there it is. The Champions of the Alliance and the Horde have brought justice to the character on the box of the expansion. Surely that's the end, and it's time to go to Wrath, right? Wrong. Kil'jaeden's back, baby. Yeah, it's time for Kil'jaeden to come through a well of his own, just like his pal Sarge tried to do 10,000 years ago. Too bad we were ready to take down the big bad demon. By the way, should I tell him about Anvina?
You might as well, but keep it short. It's not really important to the story.
But what if they go and farm Sunwell and they're thinking, who is this lady floating in the light and the Sunwell? And and then Caligo says, Anvina, I love you.
Fine, tell them.
Okay. This is great. Oh, I'll keep it brief, though. Honestly, it's funnier if I keep it brief.
It is.
Following the pollution of the Sunwell, it was discovered that in order to save their people, Kel'thas would need to destroy it, or floaters in the well would doom them all. Okay, so boom, it's blown up. But the Sunwell is like way cooler than just like a regular Sunwell, because the red dragon Coriolistraz discovered the power of the Sunwell just floating around or something, and he needed to make sure it didn't get into the wrong hands. Seriously, I don't know. It was over here now. Okay.
Yeah.
So he worked his magic and he put a powerful spell on the Sunwell powers and turned it into a human girl named Anvina.
Because why not?
Yeah. Well, one day, wacky hijinks in Zoo, whatever. And the blue dragon Caligos, or as he likes to go in his visage form, Calic, fell in love with Anvina. So imagine how heartbroken he was when he had to let Anvina become the Sunwell again. Oh, and then Velen laid to rest an Aru within the Sunwell and made it not gross again. Mana addiction cured. Or no, the symptoms are gone, or they're still totally addicted.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the end of the Burning Crusade. So to recap, we went to Outland and beat up a Naga that used to work for the Queen of All Night Elves 10,000 years ago while she was trying to steal all the water in Outland. Then we had a party in Karazhan for reasons. After dealing with some trolls in Zulaman, we finally got around to smacking a brown Illidan for being a total jerk. And then finally Kil'jaeden tried to jump through the Sunwell, or like where it was before or something. Thanks to the power of love, Anvina is put back in the Sunwell. The stupid demon boss gets pushed back down the drain, and all is right in the World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm. The power of love is a curious thing.
Now stuck in my head.
Anyway.
That's the power of love.
Yeah, so I'm glad you got that joke. That's good. Most people wouldn't recognize that joke, but there it is. Yeah, so anyway.
There it is.
Anyway.
It's right there.
Yeah. Anyway. And it's, by the way, all is not right in the World of Warcraft. No, because nope. Jerkface himself, Arthas, thought it was time to get off his ass and get to work dealing with the living. But what happened during Wrath of the Lich King? Well, that's not important right now, because the most important thing to happen during this time frame happened before the expansion launched. Varian Wrynn is back, baby. So last we heard about Varian, like I said, he was captured by the Device Brotherhood. All right. In the time we last saw him, he had a bit of an adventure. Let's see if I can explain this the way that it'll actually make sense. I'm going to do my best. So first off, the abduction was under the orders of Onyxia, like we already said. And she cast a spell on him, splitting him into two. Okay. There's now two variants. Variant one, variant two. One side was this diplomatic and very genteel, kingly side. That's the side he had. All right. And the other side was the soldier, the warrior, the psychopath. And wouldn't you know it, if you split a person into his docile side and his crazy side, you should probably get a leash or something for the crazy side, because that side totally just ran away. Yeah, he just booked it.
Yep.
He's like, I'm out of here. Anyway,
peace.
The good side was kept in prison, but was then brought back at some point when Onyxia was like ready or whatever, because there's like scenes in the comic where good Varian, or I'm happy, was playing with Anduin. And yeah, anyway, so he was back as king for a little bit, but whatever. Anyway, this part really is important. The important stuff is what happened to our badass half. You see, when Varian ran for it, he basically jumped from a ship or something. I don't really know exactly where it happened, because he washed up on a shore. He was found by an orc named Rhaegar that happened to be he used to be a gladiator. It's not anymore. He actually owned gladiators. He's like that guy in the movie Gladiator. He used to be a gladiator himself. Now he owns gladiators, right? All right. And look what he found us right here. He got himself a new human gladiator to show off in Dire Maul. Okay, so Varian fights for a while as a gladiator, and the dude is so good, he gets the nickname Logosh, which was the Tauren name for the wild god Goldrin, or Ghost Wolf is what they called it. Cool, because he didn't remember who he was, no, so he's got a name now, Logosh.
Logosh, that's a good name. Logosh, he's got his own group of pals too. One of them, you know, if you play Hearthstone, Valyra Sanguinar, or, oh, Valyra! I can't do it like he does that, I tried. She's a Blood Elf Rogue, it's actually kind of awesome. The other isn't quite as well known, but he's cool. It's the druid Brol Bearmantle. Eventually, this gladiator life isn't working out for them anymore, and the three of them, just they head off and they do all sorts of fun things. Most fun thing they got up to is they got reconnected with good old Varian. They even get these cool elven blades called Shalator and Elemain. And with these cool new blades, they went after the jerk that did this to them, Onyxia. And in the middle of the fight with her, she's all like, lululu. And Varian and Logosh just became Varian, but also Logosh. Jen, can you explain that?
Not really. Anyway, so I'll do my best.
These are your notes. I hope so.
Well, they got fused together, as well as their swords were fused as Charlemagne. So that's why it goes, and it comes together. It was originally two swords. But that wasn't really what Onyxia was trying to do with that spell, so it didn't work super well. In fact, when you'd click on Varian in-game, he'd say, I'm Varian, but I'm also Logosh, sure. Like, both of them were
right.
In
I remember this.
Yeah. And it didn't work for and it didn't work well for the sword either, because Varian could pull apart still, right? He's, like I said, he could still do it. It wasn't a good spell. He was a little broken inside. All right, so he was basically saying that he was kind of like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, or Hulk, or whatever. Gen fixes this for him later, though, so.
Because Gen's the best.
Well, yeah, Worgen.
Most of the time. He's got his moments. It's fine, though. But we're still in Wrath. We'll get to Gen soon in Kata. So there you have it. Varian ran back on the throne of Stormwind. Oh, and then there was a zombie attack. In fact, there was a zombie attack in both Stormwind and Orgrimmar. Let's check in with the Horde really quick, too. Because there's something we missed from BC. When Thrall went to Outland, this was the first time he had been to his homeworld since he was actually born on Azeroth. Anyway, when he was there, he met the son of an important orc, Garrosh Hellscream. His father, Grom Hellscream, was the first orc to drink the blood of Menoroth. So Garrosh always thought his family sucked. This absolutely sucked. It impacted this guy. Thrall then told Garrosh what even Jin didn't mention during episode 101.
I didn't tell this part.
What even are these notes? Grom Hellscream and Thrall, during the Third War, got a chance to go after Menoroth, and it was Grom that struck the killing blow. Sadly, Grom didn't know that when a Pit Lord dies, it apparently explodes, and Grom got burnt up pretty bad. Anyways, Grom died when the orcs were no longer under the control of the Bring Legion because of Menoroth. The demon whose blood they drank was now dead. Thrall left out some pretty crappy parts of the story, like how Grom drank more blood and killed a wild god, Cenarius, before he realized he should probably stop drinking demon blood. Just, you know, a thought. Just
don't do that. It's bad for you.
If probably a bad activity.
Yeah.
Garrosh was a good kid, though. He didn't need to hear all that stuff. Anyway, Garrosh is now hanging out with Thrall. So when the zombie attack happened, Thrall gave the command to the entire Northrend expedition to Garrosh. He sent Varrok Sourfang as a babysitter for Garrosh, though, basically. I mean, Garrosh already challenged Thrall to a fight to the death, called a Makara, for leadership of the Horde, and the only reason he didn't finish is the zombies attacked Orgrimmar, got a little distracted, and when everyone found out it was Lich King waking up, it was time to take the fight to him.
That's right. Get your monster energy drinks and your hot pockets ready. We're diving into Wrath. Once we arrive at Northrend, we first had to deal with the fact that Kel'Thuzad was back. This time we weren't doing it. We weren't so stupid with his phylactery, though. Cool. Nax is done again. We also had to take out Malygos. All right. Super quick explainer here. So you remember that Malygos got really sad, basically, when he fell into a never-ending depression after Deathwing killed most of the Blue Dragons. No? Well, now you know now. Okay, well, Malygos woke up out of his stupor when two Netherwing drakes went to Malygos' house, known as the Nexus. Anyway, those dragons were super weird to him, that he consumed their energies. Right, it was a really weird story in the manga where he's like, oh, Netherwing drakes, I am magic. Ah, and he just ate their magic. It was weird. He's just like, oh, I eat you guys now.
Yeah, basically. They talk about in the codex, too. That'll be a future episode, don't worry.
Yeah. Well, maybe when he did that, he went a little crazy because he now believed all mortals were doing magic wrong and he was taking it away. Well, what he didn't take into account was that by ripping out all of the magic from the world, Malygos was causing an insane amount of issues. So the Red Dragons tried to stop him. Anywho, we had to kill Malygos with the help of some Red Dragons, and the Blue Dragons now no longer have an aspect. Dang it.
I mean, they didn't have much of one before that. He was kind of MIA for a while, kind of went crazy for a while.
That's a good point. I think they needed a new aspect. Yeah.
Just a wee bit. I mean, back in the earlier days, I mean, we got to see in Dragonflight, he had his moments, but
he was all right. In the early days. Yeah, the early days.
Yeah. Anyways, after that was dealt with, one of the best characters in all of Warcraft, Bran Bronzebeard. Oh, love me some Bran. He let us all know there's a bit of a problem. Yogg-Saron really isn't in prison anymore, and we've got to deal with it just like we dealt with C'Thun. Well, what we got to work, we did that. We got to work dealing with that, and we discovered probably more lore from one raid than in a very long time.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. Yeah.
That raid was nuts at the time.
Yeah.
We didn't have Chronicle back then.
No, we didn't. And even with Chronicle and stuff, it's still fun to go back and really consider who those keepers are in the grand scheme of things. You know,
it's nuts. Great.
Yeah. Good old war. So here's what happened. Yaw got out. He was messing with the minds of all the Titan keepers still alive. And it's our job to put a stop to this old god because he's going to do some real bad stuff. What that stuff is was not really clear. Anyway, we work with Bran and we assault the Titan Complex Uldor. And this is the same type of facility that Logan was doing all that meddling from, And that's also the place that Odin ripped a chunk out of it and he took his ball and went home. Just kind of flew it away with it, with his section of it. And with Bran's help, we managed to restore the minds of the Titan Keepers and help them with dealing with Yogg. All of that. Unless you're going for the achievements, in which case you didn't help all the Titan Keepers, but that's a different story.
Alone in the dark. Scary.
Yes. And we also got our first taste of the crazy cosmos in WoW when we discovered the Constellar Ogalon. Yeah. Remember the Forge of Origination? Well, there was a failsafe that we players accidentally triggered.
See, we do bad things. We do it all the time.
During the course of events during the dungeon Halls of Lightning, we allegedly murdered.
Allegedly.
What was known as the Prime Designate, Logan. Guess what? The failsafe was that if the Prime Designate ever dies, it sends a message to Ogalon. So this cosmic being can investigate what's going on. And if their analysis shows signs of corruption, aka old gods getting out maybe, they'll order the Hall of Origination to be activated, the big beep boop, and restart life on Azeroth.
And considering that's where we live, and we'd be caught up on that mess too, we all opted to kick the shit out of Algalon than just let him beep poop our ass to death. And after we took care of business, it was time for the main event. The Ren Fair. Woohoo! It's time to party, baby! Well, actually, the purpose of the Ren Fair was to find the best warriors in all of Azeroth that could take down the Lich King. Whatever. Let's go to the real main event. Iceground Citadel. Allie can attest that the lore of Iceground is immense and could fill, what, 3 or 4 episodes of a podcast?
I think it was four.
Yeah. It's a lot going on in Iceground, so don't you worry. We're not covering it all.
We're going to be here for a long time if we do, let's be honest.
Yeah. And, you know, there's some Dungeon Fable episodes if you want to learn all of it.
They're still up and running. Yeah, they're still there. You can go. You get to hear the music and hear me like ooh and all over things. It's fine.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great time. All right. We're going to do our best to condense down the magnitude into a manageable chunk while we still get all the good bits. First off, we can't talk about ICC without first talking about the Wrathgate.
Oh, good catch. God, I love the Wrathgate. So what was the Wrathgate?
Something Allie loves. That's the answer.
Oh, my God. Well, I just... there's so much about Wrath I loved. Anyways, Wrathgate. That was the first assault on Icecrown with a unified force of Horde and Alliance troops. Alliance troops were under the command of Bolvar Fordragon, and the Horde troops were led by Drenosh Thorofing. The two armies rode to the back front. I don't know.
Yeah, gate. Do you know?
There's like a lot of gates. I don't know.
Was that the front or the back?
I want to say, I guess it just depends on where you're looking at it from. I want to say that was the front.
Oh no, maybe that was the garage door because it's a bigger door.
It is a pretty big door.
Yeah.
Well, I feel because we do the three dungeons.
Mm-hmm. We kind of sneak out the side.
Right. I want to. I don't know. That's a good question. If we ever are blessed to have Taryn Gregory on this show, we can ask him.
Yeah, is that the front of the house or the back? Or is it the garage?
It's important, Taryn.
This is important.
Anyways, they rode to the gate of Icecrown, and Arthas came out to greet them. Drenosh didn't wait for the 1, 2, 3 go, and Arthas killed him in one hit. Hate to see that, but that makes Bolvar mad. And he was probably going to do something, but just then a forsaken creeper up the hill said, "Did you think we had forgotten? Did you think we had forgiven? Behold now the terrible vengeance of the Forsaken. Death to the scourge and death to the living."
Excellent. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway. Anyway, the Forsaken fired a whole crap ton of blight all over the battlefield, and pretty much everyone was breathing in this green toxic gas. And that's when the red dragons came flying in to burn away the mess. Arthas was like, I'm out of here. And he ran away.
Yep. Well, he sauntered. He's a cool guy that walked away from the explosion.
Yeah. He was not a cool guy in that moment because he was like, oh, shit. He didn't look cool like Logan or something walking away.
That's fair.
All right, where were we? All right, blah, 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 blah. And we don't really know why this happened to only Bolvar. Yeah. We don't really know why this happened to only Bolvar. But instead of just dying in the blight and then the dragon's fire, he was apparently healed and kept alive by the dragon's healing flame. So, why are we telling you this? Well, because when you step foot inside of ICC, you hear Bolvar saying, "I will never serve you." So, we find out in that moment that Arthas went back outside, found Bolvar in the mess, and now has him chained up in some bizarre formation above Arthas' throne.
Yeah. I mean, it looks pretty painful, too, to be completely honest.
Yeah, it's like a little, like, what if I just dip you down a little bit? Like, I don't know.
What?
I'm just saying. You'll see. Yeah, it's a little weird. All right.
Okay. Moving on.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So that's what happens when we first walk in. All right, let's fast forward right after the gunship. Oh, no. Arthas also scooped up Drenosh. It's pretty messed up that Arthas made him attack his own father. If you play as Horde. If you play as Alliance, it's just dwarves or something like that. Yeah, he just says dwarves.
Yep.
Anyway, once we take out the Death Knight version of Dranosh, Varrok pieces out and takes his son to be buried in Nagrand with his family. He's like, I'm out.
No. It was kind of an emotional moment, honestly, that little cussing there.
Just don't listen to Jaina. She's the only cringe part of that whole thing. Shh. No. We don't talk about that.
You don't want me to? I could mimic it if you really want. You can do it if you want.
Sure.
Well, I'm just so proud of my king.
It's the
God, that's right.
All right. Now we head upstairs and we face off against Arthas alongside the paladin Tyrion Fordring. All right. You already know we're going to win, but you'd probably like to know who this guy is next to us. Well, the real short version is he was a paladin, and he was stripped of his land and connection and basically everything, connection to the light as well, when he was put on trial for treason, all for being friends with an orc named Eitrig. Well, he wound up being a hermit up in the Plague Lands for a while, and the player characters, we met him up with him back in the classic days. It was one of those optional quest lines. Not everyone did it, but anyway. So you kind of help him get his groove back at that point. Anyway, Tyrion Fordring is paladin again around the same time. As the zombie attacks were going on, Arthas sent some of his Death Knights to attack a location known as Light's Hope Chapel. All right. One of those Death Knights was, once again, Darian Morgrain. All right, so what happened to him? We'll explain in a second. All right, Darian Morgrain, he's a Death Knight now. He's not alive. He's not in Argent Dawn anymore. He was wielding the corrupted Ashbringer, right? Because Darian died by sacrificing himself in order to stop a Scourge invasion that was turned into it, and he was turned into a Death Knight by Arthas after he scooped up Darian's body. So when Darian and his other Death Knight pals got to Light's Hope Chapel, stuff stopped working very well. Like, it was like, what happened? It was almost as if the Ashbringer was turning against Darian as well. Well, Tyrion was there, and he was explaining that Arthas had sent Darian and all his other Death Knights into a trap because Light's Hope Chapel was such a holy site that the Death Knights really didn't have a chance of survival here. Arthas even showed up and pretty much admitted to it as well. Well, this really pissed off Darian, so much that he was no longer under the control of the Lich King. Darian gave the Ashbringer to Tyrion, and when he held the blade, it was purified, and it was all glowy again.
Indeed, it was very glowy. So much so that Tyrion got the chutzpah, basically, to attack Arthas with the now super glowy Ashbringer. And when you're undead, you get hit by a sword that turns undead into ash. It probably hurts pretty damn bad, because Arthas ran for it. And that's pretty much it. Tyrion was a paladin that made friends with an orc. He was stripped of his glowiness, as well as losing all his family and stuff. He eventually dusts himself off and realizes no one can take his connection to the light away, and goes back to being a paladin. And he was the paladin that confronted Darian Morgrain. When Darian felt betrayed, he gave the Ashbringer to Tyrion, and since it's a really cool sword, Darian pretty much led the way on the attack on Icecrown, as he should. Which brings us back to the top of Icecrown, where our heroes are facing off against the most memorable villain Blizzard has ever created. Standing by their side is Tyrion Fordring with Ashbringer in hand. It's awesome. It's epic. As you can imagine, the battle didn't go too well because Arthas just toying with us and seeing how well we fought as a team before he literally killed us all in one quick gesture. And if you start that fight not knowing it, it's an experience, let me tell you. So it turns out our team work was better than expected, though, because we picked up a ghost on our team, just like in the Haunted Mansion's Doom Buggies. That's right. That was good, actually. I feel bad for anyone who's actually never been on that ride. I have no idea what you're talking about with that.
You get a ghost in your Doom Buggy.
It's true. It's cool. But in this fight, though, we're not a Doom Buggy, and we get the ghost of Tyrannus Minethil, Arthas' father, who popped out and rezzed us all, and we kicked the Lich King's ass. It was awesome. But before all that happened, we get to hear the monologue from Arthas explaining why he was doing what he was doing. He wanted to kill us and resurrect us, the greatest champions of Azeroth, to be his Death Knights. I won't go over that in too much detail because Arthas says that every time you tried to farm the Mount Invincible, so much so that DBM has a timer for the RP because it lasts that long.
Yeah, you can go make yourself a sandwich by the time he's done explaining his, stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. After Arthas is defeated, his ghost dad let him know that it was over and he could die now. Okay, Arthas is dead now. But there's still a threat that needs to be dealt with.
That's right. Blizzard can't let go of the title of Lich King just yet, because according to Terranus's ghost, the unruly Scourge could be an even bigger threat. Control needed to be maintained. So leave it to old Tyrion, who already gave up a lot of his life, so he figured he would put on the Helm of Domination and control the Scourge forever to be the Jailer of the Damned. That's what he said. Jailer of the Damned. That's what
there must always be a Lich King.
There must always be a Lich King. Yeah. However, there was a better option, because Bolvar climbed down off a sex wing. How he got down, I will never know how that guy got down there.
I've always wondered that. It's like, what the hell?
He was like, yeah, Johnny. That's the gun. And as soon as daddy's dead, he just crawled down. He's dumb. He was like, oh, I was up here. This was having some fun. What are you talking about? Look at me. My skin is made of fire. It's hot. I'm hot. I got hot flashes constantly, so I'm an ice cream. It's nice. I like it.
Wow. I don't even know what to say.
Where the hell was I?
All right. I don't even know anymore. What is happening?
Bolvar just climbed down off his sex wing. I found it.
Okay.
All right. He let Tyrion know that he effectively died when the dragon's flame burnt the blight away, because now he looked like a dude made of lava or something. So he made the argument, hey, man, everyone thinks I'm dead. Put the hat on me and keep it that way. And that's how Bolvar became the Lich King. Now, you'd think we'd have plenty of time to celebrate the death of the Lich King. And you kind of did, if you defeated the Lich King only a few months after the raid came out. But my raid team at the time barely managed to defeat him until the day before the deadline. And keep in mind, ICC was current content for 13 months. I don't know, did we just suck or something? I don't know, it was a long time. So you either had like 10 months to celebrate the death of the Lich King, or just one day, like I had, because a Deathwing was finally ready to make his return. Now, Deathwing had gotten up to all sorts of shenanigans in the interim between the War of the Ancients and the Cataclysm expansion. However, there's not a ton that's considered must-know lore, but I'll just explain what he's been up to. He's been trying to make evil dragons.
Yeah.
That's really it. And he doesn't care what kind either, because he tried all sorts of different variations, including taking a bunch of eggs to Outland and accidentally made Netherwing drakes just by leaving them there and forgetting about them.
Whoops.
Yeah, because they all got exposed to the energies of the Twisting Nether, and you get the idea. Anyway, another type of dragon he got pretty good at making was the Twilight Dragons. More on those in a bit. Anyway, Deathwing has been sleeping off his latest upset in Deepholm, the elemental plane of Earth. That's what Deepholm is. And after his spa day was over, he returned to Azeroth, and just wrecked the place. There was even a great quest about the day Deathwing came where three crazy people tell you a great story. Make sure you do that in the Badlands. If you haven't done that one, do it.
Yeah.
But to summarize what Deathwing did, he seriously just messed everything up to the point that they gave the event the name similar to the Sundering. This was the Shattering. Not as dramatic as blowing up the Well of Eternity, but the dragon aspect of Earth popping out and using his control of the world to practically destroy everything deserves a cool name like the Shattering. So he also stopped by Stormwind to pick up something. By the way, if you're kind of curious, what was Deathwing doing in Stormwind and why did he leave? He was picking up his daughter's skull.
As you do.
Yeah, he's like, I thought I would keep this. You got you dirty, nasty barbarians keeping my daughter's skull as a memento. I will take this. And he did. And he broke a park in the process.
That's right. Cataclysm. Guess what? It's here. And to deal with this threat, both the Horde and Alliance did need some new friends. First off, we got the read my lips, no new taxes, man. Gangraymane, King of Gilneas, joined the Alliance after dealing with some internal politics. That internal politics was the fact that his people were turning into werewolves, or Morgan for copyright purposes. Oh, and to top it off, the Forsaken were attacking their city because the Great Main Wall he had built after Terranus said he'd have to pay more in taxes broke when Deathwing show up. Here's a super quick version of why his people turn into werewolves. Malfurion used his druid abilities to transform into a wolf, and it went badly, so he banned the form for the other druids.
No, yeah, well, him too. He didn't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's true. During the War of the Satyr, just go with it, it was a whole thing, two druids used the band shape, and it works, kind of. Anyway, one of those two druids just loves being a wolf so much, he makes this transformation permanent and convinces a whole bunch of other druids to do it too, because it's totally cool. and it really is totally cool. In order to deal with these now rampaging wolves, Malfurion and the other Night Elves use an artifact known as the Scythe of a Loon to put them all asleep under a tree in the Emerald Dream, and they go sleepy sleeps. Okay, now the Forsaken are attacking Gilneas, and Gen asks one of his top wizard dudes to think of something. And the plan he manages to come up with is, I'll summon these monstrous beasts to deal with the undead. It works. But then the Worgen turn on the Gilneans, and apparently being bitten by one of these Worgens gives human the curse of the Worgen. You turn into a werewolf. Okay, so that's like the whole kingdom now. And Gen manages to convince Varian to let his people join the Alliance after they aided the Alliance in pushing the Horde out of Ashenvale.
Yes. Other thing that happened during the Cataclysm is Thrall, being a really cool shaman, thought that it was his duty to help in healing the world, since that's kind of what shaman do. When he departed, he left Garrosh in charge, the same guy that threatened to kill Thrall when he disagreed with the decision. Obviously, this was a controversial choice, and the leader of the Torn really took issue with this, and he got himself killed in a Makara. Wasn't really his fault, though. He probably would have killed Garrosh if it wasn't for treachery.
Yeah.
Read the book. So Thrall is gone off fixing things. Karen Bloodhoof is dead. Bulgin, the leader of the Darkspear Trolls, is pissed. And Sylvanas is just doing her own thing on the other continent. So she's like, well, bye. So the Horde was in disarray, to say the least. And since Garrosh is Garrosh, he believed that the Horde deserved better lands. So he started trying to expand their territory. This is when Varian and Gin shut down Garrosh and Ashenvale, cementing their friendship. The Horde managed to get some new friends, too. The goblins from Kazan. Kazan, yeah. Really, all that happened there is that the island of Kazan was destroyed when Deathwing arrived and the goblins helped out Thrall, too. So he was like, hey, go to Orgrimmar. They could totally find some help there. And the goblins around the Horde after kicking a soccer ball at I think it was a soccer ball at Deathwing that you kicked at him. It was pretty fun. It's like, go away,
Deathwing. Something like that.
Go away. It's a fun starting zone. And the rest of Cataclysm is really all about dealing with Deathwing and the other tools of the old gods, because that's what Deathwing was at this point. He was on the payroll of D'Zoth, as well as the Twilight's Hammer cult led by the Ogre Mage Cho'gall. This guy had a fun history that we will not be going over today, but I would suggest looking him up in Chronicle Volume 2 at the very least. Anyway, we stopped Cho'gall and his cultists working towards freeing the old gods. The other thing we had to deal with was the chaotic elements, especially fire and air. Earth was managed just by talking to the Earth Mother. We're like, hey, Therizane, how's it going? She's like, I'm a reputation now. And we're like, okay, we're friends. And with water, we kind of made friends with Deptulon, the Tide Hunter, but he just got disappeared by a Kraken. So the Kraken was like, I take you now. So
yeah.
He just never, he was gone. Anyway, Alakir, the Wind Lord, we defeated the crap out of him, as well as we had to take the fight to Ragnaros and the forces of the Fireland and found out that he had legs. And yep. All that leaves us is the main event.
That's right. And this time, everyone got a chance to get in on the action because Dragon Soul was the very first raid that brought us LFR. Not the podcast with Cerith and Dracoris, which I miss for, but the actual difficulty looking for raid. Anyway, the only way we were able to come up with a way to kill Deathwing is if we use the Dragon Soul against him. Only problem was that the Dragon Soul was destroyed by the Mage Ronin, and then again by Varisa Windrunner when she touched it with a Nauru staff.
That happened in Night of the Dragon. In case you're curious.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, like, it's, in case you're curious, well, we got some time. I'll just explain. So Ronin destroyed the Dragon Soul.
Right, know that.
They like freaking Death Starred it, like in Return of the Jedi, where they're like they were piecing it back together. It wasn't even the full Dragon Soul yet. They were putting pieces back together. They were literally piecing it back together like the cop put back together shredded paper.
Did you scotch tape with it?
Probably, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I read that and I'm like, what? Anyways, so how did we get the Dragon Soul? That's a great question. We traveled back in time with the help of the Bronze Dragons to the moment when Deathwing first used it during the War of the Ancients, which we talked about in episode 101. And then we sent it back in time when we were done with it to ensure that it didn't result in any disruptions in the timeline. So we booped it to our time and then we sent it back in time. So armed with the Dragon Soul, we assaulted Deathwing at Wormrest Temple in Dragonblight and in Northrend. We took out a bunch of old god minions, even Altraxian, or the dragon that was supposed to bring about the Outer Twilight, basically how the old gods plan on winning.
That's what the Hour of Twilight was, yeah.
Yeah, we fixed it. There was no Hour of Twilight. Yes. Anyway, Deathwing was killed. Aspects used all their power to ensure that Deathwing could never harm the planet ever again. This meant that the Aspects were just powerful dragons. They no longer had their super cool aspectral powers, as they called them. Nostrum, we lost like all the Santa shoulders. They were all sad and they walked away. Because it was time, it was the age of the humans now.
Mortals.
And that's it. Mortals. Yeah, humans, mortals. You're right. It was mortals.
I mean, it'd be really awkward since she was talking to an orc in the cutscene. It's the age right. of humans and the orcs are like, what? I mean, they helped.
A little bit, I guess. I don't know. All I know is I was happy to make my human a worgen the second I could. Oh, but anyways.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That is it. Classic BC Wrath and Cataclysm all wrapped up nicely in as much of a nutshell as we could.
Yes, that was the best I could. I obviously missed a lot of little bibs and bobs and things along the way. And again, if you like this stuff, let me know and I'll keep going. Cataclysm, what's next? Mists of Pandaria? Oh, that'd be a fun one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll be awesome.
Mists of Pandaria. Then we got some not great one. I mean, the lore's okay. Some
timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly things happening.
It's okay. Yeah, and then you get the really cool stuff with Legion, the Battle for Azeroth, yeah. and then that one, and then Jack of Flames.
And then that one. And then we're all caught up, and then eventually we'll get Chronicles 4.
Yeah, we're going to call Chronicle 4. It's going to be great. I'm so looking forward to that. It's going to be...
Me too.
It's in July, right? That's right around the corner.
I think so.
That's right around the corner.
Like that.
We'll be here before we know it.
I know.
Vol'jin's on the cover. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because Vol'jin, they were like, oh, and Vol'jin totally became the Alola. And he's like, oh, I'm Alola now. And it'd be great. But anyway, that's for future episodes. That's for crazy stuff later to come. And yeah. So how'd I do, Allie? What do you think I missed that was the most out of those expansions? Like, you're like, did I miss anything that you're like, dude, you seriously didn't tell him about this?
I feel like you got most of the overarching stuff. Like, everything is all, you know, finer details or, you know, interesting tidbits. But you got the main parts, which is what these are for.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think. I'm like, I don't think I'm missing any, like, obviously, I would have added it in if I thought of it. I was just checking my work is all. Right?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, that is where we will end it for this episode, and we'll pick it back up. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe episode 105. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We got different plans for next episode. It's going to be a special one.
Yeah. Next one's going to be good. Just going fun. Pay attention. It'll be fun. Anyway, you wanna do the job, Allie?
Take it away. It's my job.
It is your job now.
It is my job this time. Hey, guess what? We're at the end of the show. And it's a part of the show where we like to say a quick thank you to all the patrons that support us and keep the show going. If you want to join their ranks and support the show, you can do that by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore. And while we like to thank our patrons every single episode because you all are just so amazing, we do like to give a very special thank you to the top patrons. And that includes Lex Rance from over there at For Azeroth. We got Monkey Valhalla.
Fucking monkey.
Jaleel. Nick Elobre, Craig Lemus, Ickes, Nadun, Night Warrior.
Night Warrior.
Mud, Avadon, Dungeon Master Burke, from World Building with Burke. It's cool. Go check it out. You got Greybeard, and you got Dracorus.
Stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story.
All right, just like every episode, today we'll end this episode with a real positive good story. And this one just happens to be cool as hell. I'm sorry. This is just cool. I even included a picture for Allie. Isn't that cool and freaky at the same time? It's cool.
It really is.
So what the hell is this? A deep sea expedition off the coast of Chile has uncovered a treasure trove of scientific wonders, including more than 100 previously unknown marine species and a handful of never before seen underwater mountains. The largest of which is around 4 times the size of the world's tallest building. Because incredible photos and video footage of the underwater landscape also shows a menagerie of deep sea weirdos, including intricate sponges, spiraling corals, a beady-eyed lobster, a bizarre stack of oblong sea urchins and a bright red sea toad with hands for fins. And
it's so cool.
That's what I saved as the picture. That is totally like.
It looks like a sweater almost.
Yeah, it looks fuzzy. It's like a fuzzy fish. Yeah.
But also looks like it has like hand flippered.
I'm just saying, if you're looking for the missing link or something, I think we found it.
We'll have to post this picture on the Discord so they can see it.
This is the fish that got out of the ocean 2 minutes later. All right, because between January 8th and February 11th, researchers on board of the Schmidt Open Ocean Institute's research vessel, or SOI, Falkor explored the seafloor off the coast of Chile. The expedition, named Sea Mounts of the Southeast Pacific, focused on underwater mountains, or sea mounts, in three main areas. The Nazca and the Salaz y Gomez Ridges, two chains of more than 200 seamounts that stretch a combined 1,800 miles from Chile to Easter Island, also known as Napa Nu. I didn't know that. I didn't. Rapa Nu. Rapa Nu. Rapa Nu. There you go. That's how you say Easter Island and that. As well as Juan Ferdinand and Nazca. I don't speak Spanish. I'm sorry. Marine parks.
Desventuridas.
Mm-hmm. That's the, yep. Allie's got it. In total, the researchers mapped around 20,400 square miles of ocean. And it's freaking cool. I'm just saying, I like that. It's cool.
That is really cool.
Did you like the sea toad? That was pretty cool.
I really do.
That was the creepiest one. Like
I love it.
That was the
I
best.
Love it so much.
That was the best of the photos.
I want to touch it.
Yeah, it's like, Is that gonna like poison you or something? Like obviously probably not humans or something, because it's like they didn't get probably never, but we ain't ever seen them, so they never seen us. So it's not like they have any right. defenses. I don't know. This is cool. I was like,
it's okay. Really cool. I like it.
I'm gonna share the craziness that was explored off the coast of Chile.
It's awesome.
But it is time to go because it's time for Chile. Chile. I don't know.
Are you eating chili after this?
No, I'm not eating chili after this.
Thank you so much for listening to Live, Laugh, Lore. If you have a topic or a question you'd like us to discuss, send us an email at livelaughlorecast@gmail.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore, and you can keep the show going for as little as $1 an episode. You can watch Allie live on Twitch Sunday nights over at twitch.tv/AllieAndres. And you can watch Jin Monday nights at twitch.tv/JinsJoint. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @live_laugh_lore. You can follow Jin on Twitter at JinsJoint, and you can follow Allie at AllieAndresK. Meanwhile, be kind and take care.
Well, Brawl needed a little convincing to let them join the undead join.
There we go. Brain. That fixed it.
There's two thaws. My brain's like shut down. I don't know what to do with these words. Let's try that again.
The actual hero are the actual heroes that put the stop. Marking that. I can't read. That was horrible. That made no sense. The Horde managed to get some new friends too. Let's say that again. That was weird. It was a weird way of saying that. I was like, that's new friends too. Who already gave it